What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
Jonathan Flamingo.
Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Bronte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, it is a payday Friday. Just check the bank accounts, man. The one that got a little bit of cash. Yeah, feel good. It'll be gone tomorrow, no doubt. It'll be gone tomorrow. Gone, gone, gone. Good morning to everybody out there getting up for graveyard shift. Ooh, pardon me. All the truck drivers, all the overnight dancers. I know business is slow right now. Not a lot going on in the Bay up until the All-Star game. It's happened in 3 weeks, so business will be booming, ladies. Get your game right. Get your game tight, because money will be flying around in early February for the All-Star game here in the Bay Area. By the way, hey. Shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer. I got something stuck in my tubes here. I was just thinking about this, Shasky. You got the young roasters. You got the baby roasters. You got the roasters who are our age. And then you got the OG roasters. The OG roasters I get a kick out of. So I ran into this guy, Craig, at Molly Stone's. Outside of Molly Stone's. And he had this big old cigar. And I walked in with Baby Chaz, and he was...
Kingsdale?
Not a Kingsdale. But I walked in, and they were talking about Brock Purdy, you know, whether or not he's getting money. And then I walk out of the store, and Chesna's walking in front of me. And the guy goes, "What up, Chesna? Wait a minute! That's Chesna! I recognize her before you." So this guy, Craig, was like, and he's the OG roaster. And he goes, "I blare it at the beauty station at Bob Ball Park. It's on all the time." And the first thing he said was like, "I just love it when you say good morning to his graveyard shift workers. And then you say good morning to the overnight dancers. There's no better way to starting my day than hearing that." And I was like, wow. The OG roaster loves the overnight dancers.
What did they ask you about Brock Purdy? Because I saw some interesting things on the internet yesterday.
They didn't ask me anything about Brock Purdy. I just said, look.
A lot of interesting things on the internet.
Yeah, I know. Shocker, right?
You want to talk about Twitter fingers.
Only fans? Twitter fingers when it comes to Brock?
Yeah.
What did you find
content
out on the internet?
Creators from the Tennessee Titans are suggesting whether the Titans should trade for Brock Purdy or not.
Trade their number one pick for Brock Purdy?
It didn't say.
Serious?
They were talking about Justin Simmons and different combinations of picks, players. Obviously, the number one was
going after Brock Purdy. And they're interested in Brock Purdy?
Well, no. Content creators were saying, should they do something like that?
Mm. Would you guys do that? Number one overall pick for Brock?
Look. Last year, I probably would have done it for Caleb, and I don't know how much different the Niners season is with Caleb. Like, he had a, the numbers look good, like, comparatively, but if you watch the games, they were like a non-functional offense for high parts of the year.
Because they're non-functional offensive coaches there.
No, I understand that, but we all can agree, like, playing quarterback, even if you're the greatest college prospect ever and then going to the NFL, the transition is difficult. We don't know. We just don't know.
So let me figure this out. Let's rewind for a second. Tennessee Titan content creators,
yes,
or Niner content creators?
Tennessee, and then Niner content creators ran with it.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, I just had a Titan fan text me right now saying we don't want Brock Purdy.
Well, of course there's going to be opinions all over the place.
I'm happy with Brock Purdy. The one Titan fan I know just texted me and goes, "We don't want Brock Purdy, dog." He shall remain nameless, but he's the one Titan fan I know. Tighten up. So Titan fan started this conversation by bringing up Brock Purdy. We need some of these teams to start making the playoffs. You imagine Titan fans? We're not even through the division round yet. They have the number one pick and already writing articles about Brock Purdy and maybe trading for him or not trading for him.
This is what happens when you have a team drafting in the top five and they've been as bad as they've been. I'm talking about the Titans. And then this is also what happens when we talk quarterbacks and contracts and money and, you know, there's going to be all kinds of crazy speculation that's quite reckless.
Right. Back to Tennessee, 510 says, for the number one pick, and Dallas hires Deion and drafts Shedeur Sanders.
There's a lot of talk about just every team doing different things. Especially more so the teams that are outside the top couple picks. Like, so, what are the Giants going to do? What are the Raiders going to do?
So when it comes to content creators and topics like this, is it newsworthy topics with content creators? Is it...
How is it any different than Stephen A. Smith just recklessly...
Oh, I agree. It's not different.
You know,
it's,
like, it's, he's a content creator by my definition.
Yeah, it's not different.
Just because he happens to be employed by a different company doesn't make it different.
But I don't take Stephen A. seriously with his opinions. It's just him yelling about God knows what, talking about the NBA Finals in the month of December. So I don't necessarily take Stephen A. So it's not different. You're right. It's not different than Stephen A. But I personally don't take Stephen A. at everything he says. I don't, you know, value his opinions on the game as much as I used to, because it's a lot of hot take stuff. And he's not in those locker rooms every single day. And he's not traveling with the teams. He's not a beat writer. I don't know how trustworthy his sources are. Whenever he does say something to players, quickly to come out and say, yeah, that's cap. That's cap. And then you find out, yeah, it was cap.
I view it this way, just sports in general. If these teams, if I'm thinking about running, like if I think about the Giants, Niners, Warriors, I'm thinking about them a lot, more probably than the average fan that's out there because of the profession that I'm in. Then I take it a step further and I think, okay, I think about them a lot. Imagine running one of these teams or being a part of the front office. Your mind is constantly spinning with ideas and trades and who to keep and who not to keep and what you can flip and what you can do. You're constantly on the search for the upgrade. So I actually think that these conversations, whether they're brainstorm ideas, whether we're just throwing things at the wall, I think you'd be shocked at how, not you, but I'm saying the average person would be surprised at how much and how many different combinations these guys are thinking of trades. And I think there's so many things that are thought of that that we would be surprised by.
Oh, there's
guys that we think are untouchable. Everybody's always fielding everything just to get a gauge for what someone's worth.
The minute John Lynch said, this is why words matter, and his actions speak louder than words, and his actions has proven that he backs up what he says, John Lynch said, is he told us years ago, his phone line is always open. He's always going to use the cell phone. He's always going to use the landline down there, 4949 to Butterlow Way, right? He's always going to, the phones are always open. That's what good teams do. That's what good businesses do. You're always open to a change. You're always open to getting better. You're always open to thinking about different combinations. So it's not, to me, it's not even a surprise anymore, especially when these organizations, the proactive ones, like the Lakers, I consider them a proactive organization for many, many years. They're always going to be open to doing something to get better if it makes them better. That's how you stay successful, right?
Absolutely. But I always laugh because, like, John Lynch got Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, he told us, I got Jimmy Garoppolo because I picked up the phone and I called Tom Brady. And I was like, hey, you guys looking to deal Tom Brady? Now, go back to 2017.
Now, Belichick also called them, too, and said, hey, you interested in Jimmy Garoppolo?
He kind of called them.
And then Lynch said, hey, I'll call you back in 10 minutes.
But, like, it's so not Belichick, like these things don't happen randomly. Like, guys just pick up the phone and see if dudes are available. So, I don't know. I always find the whole thing pretty funny, you know? And so... If I was Tennessee, I would probably be looking for certain sure bets and whatever, but who knows? I mean, it's just, I see things that are out there and I laugh. How many times do you think the Warriors have fielded a call regarding Steph Curry?
Oh, plenty. They're probably fielding calls right now. Does it hurt to call? Hey, what's going on with Steph?
And people go, oh, they hang up the phone. But I think that they probably laugh on the other end, listening to what the offer would be.
No, they listen.
Yeah.
That's how you play the negotiation
game.
Exactly. Because that's how you gauge value for your old players and your old team.
Exactly.
So it's not uncommon. These guys grew up just like us, loving sports and being in the war rooms and playing Madden and all that stuff. It's all kind of, those whiteboards that get blurred out of Hard Knocks, there's so many different names
it's
on there.
Incredible.
Like so when I used to go to visiting locker rooms at Chase Center, there was one time one team had left their entire scouting report for the Warriors in the cubicles, right? I thought about walking out with it just to have it, but I was like, I can't do that. That's unethical. But I did look through the scouting report. Nobody was looking, so I was looking, and how detailed it was. It was like, you wouldn't believe some of the things they were saying about certain players.
You heard about Girardi. Girardi famously used to take, they'd give him all these like advanced scouts, spreadsheets, everything. They'd give it all to him, and Girardi would throw it in the dumpster. And at the Oakland Coliseum, he had thrown a bunch of stuff in the dumpster, and the A's picked it up and were like, oh, well, this is how the Yankees think. And it was like, Girardi, what are you doing? Yeah. And then you wonder why he got canned. It was like they were trying to tell him, like, this is the blueprint we want you to follow, and he wouldn't even look at it.
No.
No one's saying you got to follow it all the way, but we're saying, like, just look at it.
It's
and then don't
or the better at least dispose of it properly.
Exactly.
That's what shredders are for.
Somewhere the guy shredders? Who went through the rummage at the Balco Laboratories is laughing right now.
Balco. Where's Greg Anderson up to these days?
Training people.
Is he really?
Yeah, training.
Training for what?
Lifting and all
lifting weights? Are you still training? He's back, huh?
Yeah.
Is Bear Boss still
I actually know a couple people that know him. He's a really good dude.
Yeah, I didn't say he was bad.
Yeah.
Wow, you defended him. You got real.
Because I've heard he's a good dude.
Barry
people that I trust
too.
Say he's a good dude.
No, so he is a good dude. Whenever you take the rap for somebody for years and do jail time, yeah, you're a good dude, all right. When you won't squeal,
I'll
you just do a
this.
Jail time, and you're sacrificing your life for somebody else, and not snitching.
When it comes, we call you 311 Joe. The full story.
We call you 311 Joe. We will never ever call Greg Anderson 311. That boy kept his mouth shut.
We also don't like. There's just a lot we never know when it comes to the feds. That's what I'll say. I'll leave it at that.
There is, but God, I bet he kept his mouth shut.
Oh.
Right.
There's no doubt.
He sacrificed.
Some would say he's the most loyal of all time.
Yeah. And you told us, Shasky told me a long time ago, we rob a bank together and it comes out of me doing jail time.
I'm Henry Hill.
I'm snitching.
Yeah. Forget Bonte Hill. I'm Henry Hill. It was that man right there in the gold 49er hat wearing the red sweatshirt.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no doubt. We know. Festus Ezeli joining us at 8:30. He's an NBA champion, a co-host on Warriors pre- and post-game. We had a hell of a show the other day. We've had some good shows here. And talking about the state of the Golden State Warriors and where they're at right now at 20-20. Jordan Poole coming back. Does anybody... since the crossover was talking about Jordan Poole, and I'll throw this out there, 888-957-9570. Does anybody ever in hindsight think about Jordan Poole and what it looks like if he's still here? Does anybody, what's the Philly got Jordan Poole nowadays? I haven't heard his name much, really, since the Warriors played him. And then now we're bringing him up because the Wizards are in town to play him tomorrow. So how are we feeling about Jordan Poole right now? Does anybody have any ill will towards him? I don't know. I don't hear much about Jordan Poole no more, Shasky. I guess it's my point.
You don't? I hear a lot about Jordan Poole. More like, I can't believe we sided with Draymond instead of Jordan Poole. I can't believe we didn't get rid of both guys at the exact same time. I hear that a lot.
To me, that only comes up when Draymond misses a shot or misses a game. But really, over the last year, I deal with a lot of Warrior fans at Chase Center, and I don't hear much about Poole. That just maybe that's my circle. Maybe that's who I interact with at Chase Center, with Warrior fans. I just don't. I haven't brought him up enough, and a lot of people were taking victory laps last season because he was struggling so much. See, the Warriors knew what they were doing.
Well, we do that in all walks of life. We look for any evidence to confirm our biases or prove our point. We do that all the time. Like, for example, Justin Herbert last week, he failed miserably in the playoffs, and people that are out on Justin Herbert, you're like, oh, it's over, you know, and it's like, let me get my walk off. Like, that's what we do, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's just natural. We did it to Jimmy. We did it to Brock at times. Like, people that are out 100% on Brock, anytime he has a bad moment, we're gonna stick in the craw. I'm guilty of it at times with certain players. Like, we all do it. It's confirmation bias.
Justin Herbert, I think they were a year ahead of schedule. They're a year ahead of schedule, the Chargers, that is. They should be proud of their season. They had a good year. Good year. And Herbert looked bad in that playoff game, but he still has the tools to be really good. But this is the problem when you all of a sudden put Justin Herbert in this elite category that he's been in for so long and say, wait a minute, he's done nothing. Wait a minute here. Why are we jumping the gun on Justin Herbert? Like, I swear to God, 3 years ago, they were having conversations on ESPN, on certain talk shows around this market. People would rather have Herbert than Patrick Mahomes. That was a conversation.
That feels a little ridiculous. That's like Spadoni telling me that, you know, Mike Trout is already better than Mickey Mantle.
That
was a conversation.
That was Mike Martz.
7 years
that was a Super Bowl champion offensive coordinator that said it, Vontae.
Okay.
Mike Martz, and he was wrong.
Just,
no, but people
Mike
were
Martz.
Saying
just
it.
Not,
Did you watch Mike Martz? You watched Mac Martz. Not only did I watch him as a head coach, I watched him as the OC of the 49ers.
Okay.
And I actually like his offense at times.
I was going to say, he's not a fraud.
Let's stop pretending that this guy wrote the book on football.
No, he didn't, but he was...
But it wasn't just him, though.
It wasn't just him, yeah.
Mike Tannenbaum, a lot of people at ESPN, there was broadcast. Like, there was a lot of people at 3 years ago was taking Justin Herbert over Patrick Mahomes. That was a thing. I'm not just making that up, but I was like, what? What the hell?
It only took his third Super Bowl for people to finally realize maybe this guy's better than everyone else. It's ridiculous.
That is crazy, isn't it, how we do that? Like,
well, Max Kellerman did it for like 5 Super Bowls into Tom Brady's career. This guy's going to fall off any minute now.
Right?
That's like Steiny and Steph.
He never fell off.
One of these years, he'll be done.
Oh, yeah, the dynasty's going to be over. They're not winning another championship, and then 2018 happened, and then 2020.
I should do that with Otani. He'll not be good forever. This is the year he falls off.
Well, it was the meme that like LeBron reacted to, right? 10 years ago when LeBron was 30. Well, LeBron's finally showing the signs, guys. He's not doing this for another decade. 10 years later, he's still averaging 25-7-8 or something.
Oh my god. Where's Bronny at? What, now that you bring up
he's
LeBron?
He's sick right now. His tummy hurts. So he's been out.
You got the norovirus?
Yeah. Hey, stuff's going around, guys.
Bryce is...
Oh, he looks good.
Bryce also...
committed to Arizona.
Committed to Arizona Wildcats.
Someone said he doesn't even start on his high school team?
Who knows? By the way, Jimmy
Butler...
He's got
the height, though.
By the way, Jimmy Butler, Miami. Miami's playing much better without Jimmy Butler. Apparently, members of the Miami Heat don't want Jimmy Butler around the team. And somebody said, I don't know how we can come back to this locker room with the way he's acted. So, people are siding with Jimmy Butler over Pat Riley. I'm going to side with Pat Riley all day long.
And Eric Spoelstra.
I'm going to ride with them. Let's go to Joe in San Francisco. Joe, what's happening?
Hey, Joe.
Yo, first of all, hey, do I got Vontae online?
Yeah, you got me online.
Where are we going here?
Okay. Shasky too?
Yeah, this is Shasky and Vontae. Okay.
Where are you going, bud?
Okay. First of all, I think Spadoni said he ain't never heard of the skull.
Well, that was Lubman, not Spadoni.
That was Sam Lubman.
What?
He never heard of the skull?
He said he never heard nobody reference Frisco as the skull.
Oh, that's, you know, he's from Concord, man. What do you want? What do you want from him, man? He's, you know.
Oh, okay.
That's not how it is out in the court.
He's never walked down 3rd Street or 4th. He's never walked down 3rd Street in the hood. So he wouldn't know. Stall him out, Joe.
Okay, we're talking about Jonathan Kuminga and Poole, right?
Yeah.
Definitely, I'd rather listen. Jonathan Kuminga is definitely the first prospect I'd go with.
Hey, Joe, I gotta ask you that. What do you do for work, Joe?
I work in a warehouse.
Oh, you work in a warehouse? What's your hours, man?
I used to work in a warehouse for a long time.
Yeah, I did too.
I work 11 hours. 11 hours.
11 hours. What? About eight to eight. What's your schedule looking like on a day to day basis?
6 to 5.
Okay, it's not bad. Not bad. You get up a little early, do a little wake and bake, or what do you do to get your morning started? Coffee?
Of course. You know I got to have my wake and bake.
Oh, you got to have a wake and bake. How long you been a Warriors fan?
Of course.
How long you been a Warriors fan?
Since the We Believe era.
Okay, all right. So you've been around for a while.
20 years.
You've been around for a little bit. But We Believe, I've definitely been there. You know, Baron Davis. One of the ones who really brought me there, but I definitely roll with the Warriors, though. I'm definitely a real Warriors fan.
You think the season's over? What do you think? You still they got a shot to compete at something special?
I don't know, man. I don't know. It's not looking too good for us right now.
Hey, you want Jimmy Butler? Do you want Jimmy Butler, Joe? You seem like a Jimmy Butler type of guy.
Nah, you get off Jimmy Buckets? I don't want no Jimmy.
Have you ever heard the song from Messy Marv?
We just probably need to, you know what I'm saying, clean up around the edges.
I like the Vucevic,
you know.
Yeah, a little Vucevic. Yeah, I'm not mad at that.
I like that trade.
I'm not mad at that.
That might make us, you know, pop off a little
Joe, is this the first time you called this show?
This is the first time. This is the first time calling.
Man, what made you want to call us? What made you want to call us? What part of Frisco are you from, man?
I listen to y'all every morning. Y'all the deal, man. I listen to y'all every morning, for real.
I appreciate that. What part of Frisco
are
you from?
Yeah, where are you from?
San Fran.
Third. Okay, all right.
You know what? Every time you call, I think we should play Juice and Messy Marv, orange juice and a blunt for breakfast, because that's how I feel when you're calling in.
Little bullies for foolies?
Hey, Shafty. Yeah. You sick for that.
Little bullies for foolies? Bullies for foolies?
Hey. But, like I said, Jonathan Kuminga, though, he really our next prospect.
He's
real.
That dude.
We gotta stop, dogging on him and all that.
Yeah, they ain't be dogging Kuminga. We ain't gonna dog him on this show. That's for sure. Joe, have a good Friday,
man. You too, man.
Have a good Friday, Joe.
For sure. Y'all too, man. I love y'all, man. Y'all keep doing it.
All right, I love you too, Joe. Love you too, Joe. There's somebody wrote up on me about a
I love this show.
About a month ago. I was leaving the studio.
Uh-huh.
And a guy swerved to the corner. Skirt, skirt, skirt.
Uh-huh.
The little brother, youngster, had the little ducktails in the back. Hey, Bonte, man, that's you. Oh man, I'm 95-7 the game all day, mate. He was a young buck, man. He was feeling because, man, that's Bonte right there, man. I was like, what's up, man? Did he skirt it off the way he skirted off like a true Frisconian? Skirt, skirt, skirt. Cutting off traffic. You never know who's listening to this show.
Oh, gosh.
Joe in San Francisco. We're going to go from Joe in San Francisco to Festus Azili and talk some dubs here. Then we'll get back into the division around playoffs. We'll talk some sharks. This is truly a Friday show. That was unbelievable. Joe, this spontaneous Shasky, man. Who is this?
It's actually Steiny and Guru.
Actually, I'm Dibs. He's Willard.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Stan Devone and Evan Grandy, and this is Saturday.
You did it again.
Evan who?
Evan Grandy.
Evan Grandy.
Not Mark Giddings.
Joe Lubman. Sam Spadoni. There's a Sam Spadoni.
So, boy, you know what calls we haven't gotten this week? We haven't gotten any Sam Darnold calls.
I thought you'd say Tony in Oakland.
No, Tony in Oakland. She's in the zone somewhere. She's probably on vacation.
She's been calling Steiny and Guru.
Has she?
Oh, she cheating on us?
Mm-hmm. What?
She loves Goo.
Steiny is her kind of guy.
No.
It's Goo?
It's Goo.
Should I contact her boyfriend and let him know that he should be worried?
She let him.
What
do you say?
She let her brothers? She let her brothers?
It's probably the aura of Goo, quite frankly. He's like 100%.
It's probably his voice.
Goo, damn, she's called a guru now? What is she saying on that show?
The boy doesn't know the zone as well as you do,
no
Bonte.
No one pulls off the sweater look better than Guru right now. He really, his variety of patterns and colors, and he always makes it look fly.
Look fly?
He does. I give Guru credit.
You think it looks fly?
Guru?
You think his sweaters look fly?
I think he has a good look.
Even Spinelli loving it or laughing back
there.
It's
a good look. I couldn't do it.
I think the sweaters are aging Guru.
Why?
They look like something my grandfather will wear, man. Dude. Are you serious?
Hey, he can rock the Argyle sweater, in my opinion. I think he can rock it.
Yes, anybody could rock it.
Well, no. That's wearing it. Not rocking it.
Yeah,
he could rock it all right.
There's a difference.
And then I think, hey, that's the OG Guru. What up? What up, Grandpa Goo?
You know who can rock anything, though? It's going to be Festus this year.
Oh, Festus could rock it. 100%. He could rock it. But Goo's aged himself. He's aged himself. It's okay to say it. He's wearing these old man sweaters. Dude, cool. You're not 65. You're still 45, buddy.
I got your back, Gil.
Wear some polos every now and then. The sweater's got you looking like Dr. Oh, no, I was going to say a name. Dad has been canceled. I'm not going to do it.
don't talk about that.
You know where I was going to go.
The character hasn't been banned.
Yeah, you know I was going to go with that. Oh, man. That's just coming up. Brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. What up, Grandpa Goo?
This is Adam in the City, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
It's bothering me! What's up, Adam? And 831, it's all in good fun. Nobody hates Goo. Nobody hates Goo as much as Steiner does, all right? Relax, relax, relax. Relax. What up, Grandpa Goo? Just saying.
I always know when it's a difficult day, because I walk in the other room. What's up, Steiny? What are you guys talking about today? What are you talking about today? Spinoni's laughing.
Wait, no, Spinoni's laughing about something else. Spinoni, what'd you say about you?
So funny.
What'd you say about you?
Because what he just said, no one hates Guru more than Steiny. It's so good.
It's so true. It's so true.
I can't be around Goo without smiling.
And look, man, we're just having jokes. And this is why people take things too seriously. Bonte, Guru's in his 50s. When you hit your 50s and beyond, you're entitled to wear what makes you happy. I know you would not clothes shame a female colleague like that. Like, come on, man. Relax. I don't wear it. Like, God, see, if I make a joke, people take it like that. I'm not allowed to make jokes anymore.
There's levels to this stuff,
I'm not,
guys.
I'm not allowed to make jokes anymore.
What are we doing?
Can't we also understand that, like, what looks good on others may not look good on you, but you can still appreciate the style.
Right.
There are certain looks I can't pull off. I see all the baggy jeans now coming back in vogue, and I say, I'm done with baggy jeans. I'm never going back. I'm not going to the super baggy jean look. Every time I see pictures from the early 2000s with me in that look, it doesn't look right.
And it's a sign of the times. But people clothes shame me all the time, man. You don't think people have comments about my fashion when I'm on television or shoes I may wear or haircuts or socks or whatnot? It's all a good fun.
They don't understand the shift. It's all a good fun. They don't understand the shift either, like in getting up in the morning that early for us. It's very difficult to look Rico Suave every single day if you're getting up at 3 in the morning.
If one of us wears a collared shirt, any one of us, what is the first person, if we don't know why?
They got a meeting.
Where are you going? You got court?
I wore something, and everybody's like, oh, wow, you're dressed up. I said, dude, I'm just wearing socks and a button up today. So, I mean,
yeah, but we wear sweatpants.
Yeah,
you know,
every day.
Flip-flops.
I wear flip-flops to work, sweatshirts, hoodies, hats.
The old building, I literally wear flip-flops and a Hawaiian shirt.
People say they want to have fun, and all of a sudden we're having fun at one of our colleagues' expense, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, my God, Bonte, too seriously. Why are you always hating on Guru? I barely bring Guru up. Relax. What up, Grandpa Goo? Come on, man.
Oh, boy.
People have some fun. Festus Azili wears outfits. We joke with him. He doesn't take it seriously. What happened to people? Good Festus, man. Jeez, no wonder comedians are getting canceled left and right. Everybody's thinking, you know, Guru wears these Argyle sweaters and everything like that. They're all hip and we have fun. But then people are coming down my road, Fezzy, for throwing some shade his way. That's all. I'm just roasting him. That's all. Festus, good morning, man. How are you?
Man, good morning. Wow. The morning roast is the morning comedy show? No, comedy roast?
The morning roast is turning into the morning sensitivity training. I don't know. Nobody wants to. Oh, my God. We can't make jokes anymore. Oh, gosh. Festus joining us on the River Islands guest line. Definitely not making jokes. A lot of Warriors. We've taken a lot of calls about what's transpired, but they do get the big win against Minnesota. A feel-good win for everybody, and it's Steph with this message. He actually had me fired up, Festus, because that's an old champion who was saying, hold up for a second. Just because we're saying mortgage in the future, we're not quitting on a season, and you better believe that I'm not accepting being on the average team. Hearing that from Stephen Curry the other night, I had a little pep on my step yesterday and today because it feels like he means business, and it's not done yet.
Yeah, Bonte, I think Steph came out there, and, you know, he is shown us all season long that he still has a lot left in his tank. And it's really hard for me because, like, obviously I play with Steph, so I got to see him in the throes of battle. And I see him, like, you know, I understand that he's somebody who's competitive. So to hear people question that because of some statements that you could read either way, like, when I heard the statements that he made, I thought he was saying, listen, like, I'm actually taking some heat off of Mike Dunleavy. Like, you know, you don't have to make some crazy trade. Kind of like how the Miami Heat are saying, we're not going to make some crazy trades because we're desperate and ruin our chances completely. Like, we're going to still be in a place of power and make a decision from a place of power. It's just tough for fans because I think right now the Warriors have been going through a lot, man. They've played 24 games in the clutch. meaning that those games have been close at the end, and they've lost half of those games. And the Warriors fans are used to the Warriors winning those games. You just have to take into consideration the fact that they've been dealing with a lot of, you know, they're aging, and, you know, the guys have been in and out of the roster. They depend on the young guys to help them, give them the athleticism to be boosted to get some of these wins, and some of those young guys have been hurt. So there's just a lot of things that have been going on for the Warriors, and they're trying to right the ship. But don't ever mistake that for the fact that they don't want to win. Like, that's not the Warriors you've known for the last 10, 12 years. That's, you should understand that by now.
Yeah, we'll get to, like, maybe how one of the players might feel after Steph said that. But walk me through the mindset of a guy who maybe does get stapled into all of these trade rumors and things online. Like, you know, B and I talk about hazards of professions. You know, if you're an electrician, you can get electrocuted. Like, that's a hazard of the profession. If you're in our industry, you get critiqued online nonstop. If you're an NBA player, people are constantly critiquing you, throwing you in the trade machine. It doesn't mean it's easy, though. So take me through the mindset of someone who maybe is a part of, you know, of a team, and you're the guy being talked about in trade rumors, or one of your teammates is. How difficult is that? Like, the reality of actually going through that?
I mean, in any business, you want to feel valued, yes. But I think in today's age, more than ever, with the rise of social media, like, you have people asking interview questions to NBA players based on things they see on Instagram, based on things that they see on social media. So social media is playing a role like never before in sports. So it's really hard to ignore when you see or hear these trade rumors, and you know, there's direct access to players where you can DM them and say what you want to say. So it's really hard to ignore. But I think, you know, through it all, like, if you look at the organization, like, one thing I noticed, even through all the frustrations and through everything, like, you still see this organization, you know, taking the high road, and everyone's still, you know, saying that the vibes of the team is still very strong. Like, guys are still sticking together and trying to find a way through it. Those are the qualities. Those are the qualities of a team that has a chance to overcome. You know, it's always hard when you are thrown into a trade rumor, because then you start feeling like you are isolated. You feel like, you know, you got to look out for yourself. But when you hear the team and the Warriors talk about the season so far and these tough times where they've been going through a tough stretch, like, they're still sticking together. Like, guys are still trying to find ways to win. Like, you've seen guys come off the bench and still be engaged and try to help the team win. So, one thing I will say to Warriors fans, like, I get it. This is a tough time. There's a lot of things that you want. Like, you want to make a trade. You want to, but you've seen some teams make some trades. Like, you've seen Minnesota Timberwolves make a trade because they just wanted to do something, and they did something because they felt like they could have changed the momentum of the team, and it seems like they've taken a step back this season, and their chemistry is not where it was last season defensively or offensively. So I think that's part of what the Warriors are saying. Like, they're still trying to figure things out within the system, and that's something that you can actually you can build off of. You can build off some good chemistry. You can build off guys getting healthy as the season comes along. You can still try to find ways to get guys together. But they're not saying they don't want to make a trade. They just want to make one that's going to make them better, not in a desperate situation.
So when Steph comes out and says what he says, how does that resonate for players? Like, metaphorically, I mean, does that make them feel better? Or is it just, that's our leader talking? Does it calm the waters? How does that really resonate in the locker room?
I mean, the same way Bonte felt. Bonte said he was fired up after that. I mean, it's not just enough to talk, right? I think everybody, like, you want to hear people speak and give these big speeches, but Steph has not really been a talker. That's why it was so out of the norm to hear all these things happen in the past few days. You know, when you hear, but it's a question that you have to answer. Like, when someone comes to you and asks you a question point blank about trades and all these things that are happening in the middle of you losing, like, yeah, you answer the question. And I think Steph is saying, listen, yo, we want to win at the end of the day. And he comes out there and he gives you 30 points. And he's on fire from the start of the game against the Minnesota Timberwolves. The Warriors still have something. They beat a tough Minnesota Timberwolves team over there. And they still have an ability to win games. And what I see is Steph Curry backing it up and holding it down till Draymond gets back, till Jonathan Kuminga gets back, till, you know, GP2 and Pods all these guys are getting healthy. And when they do, I think the Warriors will be in a little bit of a different spot than they're in right now.
Fess is Zaylee here on the River Islands Guest Line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop with Festus Zaylee, an NBA champion. Of course, Warriors pre- and post-game. You talk about outfits, man. My guy's, he's dressing down to the nines, man. You're taking your game up to, you stepped your game up on another level here. But Fezzy, we're talking about the team and guys coming back and all the different lineups. What is it, 23 different starting lineups? How difficult is it as a player on any team, let alone the Golden State Warriors, to gain consistency when you don't know whether you're starting or coming off the bench or whether you're playing 30 minutes or 15 minutes? How difficult is that for a pro? As the fans may say, hey, plug and play, this guy's ready to roll. How difficult is that for a player when you don't really know what your role is?
No, it's tough for any basketball player to not understand his role as the course of the season goes on, because, you know, you need to understand, like, you know, when you're going to come into the game, as the season goes along, you become a creature of habit, knowing, you know, this is what I'm going to do, this is how I'm going to impact the game. You've seen Buddy come off the bench, you've seen him start. You've seen JK come off the bench, you've seen him start. You've seen Draymond come off the bench, you've seen his, like, you know, everybody has had to play different roles, try to figure out a way to right the ship this season. And with the Golden State Warriors, it's even more imperative because, like, you see, it's a read and react offense. And people have to have chemistry. Like, I'll go all the way back to the, you know, the Andre Iguodala, Barbosa, Sean Livingston. Like, that second unit would come into the game. Like, they were the second unit with myself, Barbosa, Mo Spates. Like, this is like a first unit on most teams. But we had the chemistry. We built the chemistry over time from training camp to the middle of the season. And then when the playoffs came around, we were able to succeed as well. So I think the team just hasn't had enough chemistry. Now, coming into the season, like, there weren't a lot of high expectations coming into the season because people still felt like they were a long shot from the championship teams of old. But as you saw in 2022, the Warriors just really need a puncher's chance, right? They just need to be able to get into the playoffs, get the right matchups, those things, but they also need to be playing well at the right time. In that season, that was when I started doing this broadcasting gig. I came on, and halfway through the season, there were all these panics. The Warriors weren't playing well, but they were holding on to the start of the season when they were playing well, when they were number one defense in the league, when they were scoring. So they have a little bit of a sample size in the 12-3 start of the season. They can hold on to that, but I really would love to see them healthy. I would love to see them playing well. Come All-Star break, come post-All-Star break, like, really gelling. Obviously, the Warriors are not a 20th offense in the NBA. Like, it's insane to say that's a Warriors, Steph Curry-led offense. So, to me, what I see is a team that's currently lacking a little bit of confidence, and that happens when you lose some games. 24 clutch games means that they are in these games. They're in a lot of these games. At the start of the season, they beat the Celtics. They beat Oklahoma City Thunder. And right now, they're really struggling. And confidence low is being in a clutch game with the Toronto Raptors and losing that game. So in the middle of everything, I think Steph is just saying, wait, hold up now. Like, this is not us. And let's find a way to get this shit right.
Yeah. I'm watching. Obviously, the offense needs to improve. Like, you're referencing it. You need bucket getters. But there is something about these energy guys, whether it's Barbosa back in the day, JTA, GP2 at times has been an energy guy. I'm watching Gui Santos, and I'm not here to say that he's some elite player or he's going to be a star or even a starter. I don't even know what he is. But he brings something to the table. Like, I really like what this guy brings. I think he's got to – it's so hard. You got to find a way to get him in there. I think he can be one of your 8 or 9 in the rotation. I like his energy. He can knock down a shot. He hustles. He's a willing passer. He'll scrap it up. He's active on the glass. I think they have a little something there with Gui Santos. What do you like about him?
I love Gui Santos' activity level. I think that when you lack talent on the floor completely, and don't get me wrong, Gui Santos is a talented player, but I think, you know, when the Warriors are playing small ball, like, you need to have those scrappy guys who are going to go above and beyond, because when you're playing smaller, you have bigger guys on other teams that have a length advantage. So what you lack in size, you have to make up for in other departments. So when you have guys come into the game, a Jonathan Kuminga, and you have him mixed with Andrew Wiggins, and they have this length and athleticism, that makes up for it. When you have Gui Santos comes into the game, and he has has that hustle. You see him go get third, fourth, extra possessions for the Warriors. That's only going to help the offense. So that's what you need from a lot of the guys coming off the bench. You got to be able to play with a lot of energy. Right now, the Warriors are really leaning in on the small ball lineup. And if you do that, you got to have guys come in the game and really impact the game. You got to play fast. For one, the pace has got to be up. You got to take care of the ball, and you got to shoot a high percentage. The whole point of going small ball is you got to have shooters on the floor. Right. You got to have playmakers on the floor. You got to have guys that can drive by people. That's what the Warriors' offense should be right now, and that's what they need to get back to, where it's you know, cutting, moving, and then you can confuse the defense and you can score and take advantage of that. The Warriors are letting other teams dictate pace, and guys like Gui Santos are coming in the game and really showing you, man, I can hustle. And get on the floor and make an impact in the game.
Fezzi, if they had to add anything to this roster, and obviously Kuminga's going to come back in a week or two. We'll see about Draymond Green Saturday against the Wizards. Then we'll have the game within the game that you always like to reference, Fezzi Fell, which is coming to town. But if they had to add something, whether shooting, size, a 3-and-D guy, what would you like to see Mike Dunleavy and the Warriors add at the deadline if there is something to add?
I think I would love to see the Warriors add somebody who is quick, can get by defenders at will. Somebody that you go back to the 2022 championship team. Mm-hmm. Like, what was the difference between then and now? Well, Jordan Poole and what he did in that roster. His ability to break down defenses, you can say what you want about his offensive numbers in the playoffs, but every time he drove down the lane, every time we were in transition, the Warriors were, every time, you know, they got a defensive stop, the ball was being pushed the other way quickly. And I think, you know, whether it's somebody else doing that or the roster currently doing that, they have to find a way to start pushing that pace again, because that's the Warriors' strength. That's one. I've been loving TJD's activity level. I think TJD has been incredible. He is undersized every night. So if you have another backup big that's bigger, someone who can block shots just like that and, you know, catch lobs and give them a size advantage inside, because when you start thinking about the playoffs, you're thinking about guys like Jared Allen, you're thinking about guys like, you know, Chet Holmgren, all these guys who have a huge advantage. So it'd be nice to have a stretch big who can stretch the floor to give the Warriors a different look as the course of the game goes on. So, it's, you know, these are all the things you think about when you look at a roster. So when they talk about Jimmy Butler or they talk about Zion Williamson, they talk about, you know, Jordan Poole, any of these guys that I've seen in trade rumors, it's for the Warriors about adding more scoring and giving the Warriors an advantage in that end.
Festus Feasts, the little videos that you're doing. You know what? It was a trip. So Buena Vista is like an old school spot, and everybody knows it's the home of the Irish coffee.
Yeah.
Pretty cool spot, huh, man?
You know, I'll say this about the Bay Area. So since I've moved back a couple of years ago, the Bay Area, it's such an amazing place. It's been home for me for years. I played here. I have so many friends and relationships here, and it gets so much bad publicity. You know, everywhere that's not here, people don't understand how much love is here. They don't understand how much, you know, the pillars of the community that are here and keeping things going. All you hear is you hear things about the homelessness, or all you hear is the bad news. So my job with my platform, I want to use it to share, you know, the stories of all these amazing people, amazing businesses, and Festus Feasts is one way to do that. You know, it's a food show where we're going to be going around the Bay Area. We're going to be talking to these business owners. We're going to be trying the amazing food. That's one of the staples of the Bay. I think the Bay has the best food in the country, and that's the part of it that I want to share with people so they understand. We have a lot of incredible events coming in. I'm part of the Bay Area Host Committee that brings all these big events to the city. It's, you know, Super Bowl. It's the All-Star Game coming here in a few weeks. It's the Laver Cup and the World Cup. And when people come, I want people to see the Bay for what it is. Like, the Bay is amazing. Like, we have our own culture. We have our own slang. We have our own food. We have, you know, we have incredible things that people should walk away feeling like, man, like, I really misjudged what the Bay Area is about. And if I can show some of that through my social media, through an Instagram or YouTube or whatever, or through our broadcast, if we can tell the stories of the Bay so people understand coming in that they should have a lot of high expectations, then that's what my goal is. Shout out to Buena Vista Cafe, one of the staples of the community. Incredible Irish coffees. I didn't know what that was until I tried it, and it's really, I'm not even a big coffee fan, and I love their Irish coffee, so thank you to them for having me. They sell about 2,000 of those a day. Wow. That's how much love they have over there, and people don't understand that there's a lot of cool businesses like this around, so please follow me on social media, follow me at FezziFell on Instagram, at Festive Feasts, and there's a food show coming. Hopefully, you know, y'all get to see and be a part of this journey with me.
Well, I know a restaurant you've talked a lot about, which is one of Shadowkey's favorite restaurants, Original Joe's.
It's my spot.
Oh, yeah.
The Dugans.
Yeah, the Original Joe's has been amazing, man. They opened a new one in the Marina, Little mm-hmm. Original Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
The pizza, the pasta. My favorite is the spicy rigatoni. We're there all the time, and they've been incredible. But it's just, you know, there's so many things like this. You know, I discovered a new one in North Beach. It's called Mona Lisa, and there's House of Nanking. Like, there's so many good restaurants. And so, please, people, if you have a favorite, yo, DM me, shout me out, let me know. I'll pull up over there, and I'll talk to the people.
We'll
hopefully, eventually, the goal is to sit with Warriors fans, and we could talk Dub basketball. We could, you know, we could do all these things and really create a community out of food, and that's what the Bay Area is about. Hopefully, I can be a part of this great community that we're building.
Nanking is off the hook. We're going to have to go to Tams and Pacifica. That's my spot.
Ooh, put me on.
Tams and Pacifica. It's got the best pot stickers on the planet.
Festies love foods.
I do, Festies too.
Festies feast.
Festies feast.
See you soon, buddy.
We're going to do an episode together. Don't worry.
We're all going to do an episode together. We're going to do a lot of fun things, man, in the future, man, with the All-Star game coming around here in a few weeks. Can't wait for that. As you mentioned, the World Cup, the Labor Cup, the Super Bowl. A lot of things happening in the Bay Area. We're about to show up and show out, man, and show them that our city is no joke out here. And our region is no joke. No doubt about that. And there is some hope for the Warriors. Hopefully they can win their second in a row tomorrow night against the Wiz. Fezzy, good man. I'm surprised you got up so early.
As soon as they told me I got to talk to my guy, Bonte, of course I'm up.
All
Bonte
right.
is my point guard. I'm excited every time I get to talk to my point guard and get some strategies going for the Warriors. Oh, one more thing. I'm hosting the NBA Africa Luncheon. It's going to be at the Moscone Center on Friday afternoon, I think about 12 o'clock. And so these are all the big events that are coming in. Having all of NBA Africa, having the, you know, different presidents coming in, and, you know, Adam Silver. These are big events that are going to be coming to the Bay, and I'm so happy that I get to be a part of these. I'm happy I get to showcase the Bay, and I'm happy that we get to represent. So everybody, please pull up to all the All-Star events. Look on the Warriors website. There's going to be events all over the Bay Area, not just San Francisco. It's going to be in Oakland. We got All-Star games. We got the G League All-Star games. We got the Rising Stars Challenge. All these things that are coming to the Bay. And then, you know, obviously, as we go along, we have other things coming. But this is the first one, and I hope that we get to welcome everybody and really show them what the Bay is about, which is hospitality and love.
Love that. Love that, FezziFell. We'll talk to you tomorrow, brother. Good stuff as always, man.
Yes, sir. All right, y'all.
Absolutely. Festus Azili, man, one of the good guys out here, man. Loves the community. He's down in L.A., too, helping out because L.A. was a home away from home for him as well. So, you know, his lady's there from L.A., Shoshana. She's a great lady, and they're down there in L.A. doing their thing to help out with the fires and everything that's affected everybody down in L.A. But a lot there with FezziFell. Speed, they do look slow. Kind of like the 49ers, man. The 49ers, Giants, and the Warriors have a lot in common. They're slow teams right now. Slow. Baldy, when we asked about the Niners midway through the year, slow. The Giants, lack of speed, explosiveness. Anybody go first to home? Anybody go second to home? No, we're station-to-station baseball around these parts. We need speed. And then, we have the Warriors, who are small right now, and they need speed and explosiveness, and that's been lacking, especially with Jonathan Kuminga out of the lineup for the last couple weeks.
Yeah, they are very slow and not athletic and not big. There's no doubt about it. And it is interesting how it feels like all the teams are unathletic, slow, and, you know, behind the times. You talked about this as we get a little foodie here. Tonight is the grand opening, 6 o'clock, Senor Cicic.
Senor Cicic.
Yeah.
They invited us.
Yeah. I'm getting a lot of texts. I'm busy tonight because I got a basketball game and I have Danny's retirement party from the police department, so I won't be able to make it. I am like so booked. It was impossible finding a babysitter.
It's hard to book you these days.
I know, man. I'm very busy.
Busy guy. Yeah, I think I'm gonna pull up. I'm gonna pull up. I thought it was 5:45.
I might pull Irish goodbye on you. Forget Irish coffee.
Yeah, I should do that. Did you pull an Irish goodbye yesterday at the holiday
party? No, I say goodbye to the people that matter.
Okay. Which people mattered?
You know, the people who signed the checks.
Yeah. The guy who walked right by me without saying goodbye yesterday.
Did he really?
I'd be like, yo, dude, you just gonna walk out like that? He's like, oh, sorry, I didn't see you. So, no, right.
Oh, man.
You know what an Irish coffee is? Anyone?
Yes, it's a coffee with alcohol. Or, I guess, whiskey, would be the technical term.
Yeah, typically,
Or Bailey's.
Did you pull an Irish goodbye, Lubbin?
No, I said goodbye to everybody.
Did you stay until the end?
I did actually stay until the end.
You closed it down, huh?
There's still people there after hours.
How many people were there after hours?
Oh, it was still a sizable contingent, yeah.
Wow.
Matt Heegan was still there when I left.
What a material.
Yeah. He was holding court.
Well, he'll do anything to stay away from his young boys.
There's only one person who holds court, and that's the king.
I wasn't there to hold court.
We've been talking about Steiny a lot. You want to talk about holding court? He was holding like 4 or 5 different courts yesterday.
No, that was him holding 4 or 5 different drinks.
He was multitasking. He's a very dynamic human being. He's well-rounded.
He's taking advantage of the open bar. All right. It's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Steiny and Goo coming up in an hour.
What up, Grandpa Goo? What are they going to talk about?
Well, they'll ask you guys first. What have you guys been talking about? And then we'll see.
Have you been to the Buena Vista?
No.
It's at the cable car turn.
I haven't been to a lot of places in San Francisco. I need to start upping my game.
They call like Land's End. Anyway, point being is like
it's a spot.
It is a cool spot. It overlooks the water and everything. It's it's a unique place. And you like think, oh, this little hole in the wall restaurant. It's been around forever. Yep. And one of these travel writers, this is just how I think it's on their wall. They've got all these different newspaper articles and stuff on the wall. Had went to Ireland and came back and was like, hey, I want you to make me this drink. And that's kind of how, like, I'm giving an abbreviated version of the story of how it kind of came to America. And that's, they claim they're the originator in America of the Irish coffee.
Somebody on the 650 said an Irish coffee has coffee, whiskey, brown sugar cube, or simple syrup splash. There's no Baileys. I thought they put Baileys in
I'm sure
coffee.
There are many different variations.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I'm sure
you put Baileys in my Irish coffee, I'm not going to get mad.
So you're saying 650 is that well-actually guy.
Correct.
Is that well-actually guy?
He's a purist.
There's nothing worse than... I'm not saying 650 is that guy, but there's nothing worse than, well, actually this, and well, actually that, and well, actually this. And, okay, great. Oh, I do see the... Matt Heegan. He's got a picture up there. There's Lubbin. My girl Whitley said Dreddo. Look at this. Look at this. A who's who in that photo. Wow. You guys had a lot of fun at the holiday party. Let's go to Malik in Union City. Malik, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, I wanted to Festus, man. I want to shout out Festus because I love ex-Warriors that want to be in the Bay. You know what I mean? Like, for a long time, didn't have that type of stuff. And you got a lot of people like Sean Livingston. You got a lot of people like Zaza. You got people like Festus that love the Bay Area and want to be here and tapping in with the community and doing things. So I wanted to shout out Festus. That's what's up. But I also wanted to say that part of what he was saying is kind of the reason why we're in the situation we're in right now, being mediocre, which is trying to recreate something that was really magical in 2022 that you're probably not going to be able to tap into in 2 years. It was a different landscape. You know what I mean? I know we don't need speed, but we need size. We need people that are big on the wing. We need people that are big on the perimeter. We need people on the big that are in the front court, especially. And if we don't get that, we're not going anywhere. This is a different landscape. There was no Wimby in 2022. There was no Zach Edey. There was no Chet Holmgren. There was no Evan Mobley playing. There was no, you know, bigs that are monstrous. I was just watching these dudes play the other day. It's like Godzilla and King Kong playing together. We got TJC back there. Like, we can't compete with those dudes if we got a 52nd round pick, number 52 overall pick, sitting there as our starting center, and Kevon Looney, who, you know, love Kevon, but he's slow. You know, he's slow. He's getting a little up there. He's 28. You know what I mean? Like, we need size. We need athleticism. But that's the biggest thing. I think we can't keep trying to recreate small ball magic of 2022. It's a different landscape, man. They must work around with monsters and